This is Game On. With your host, Seat Williams.
Game On!
Let's get lit. MLK Day Friday, getting busy here. Seat Williams already's got the wheels of steel. Jarrett's in the house, huh? Delivering. Plenty to get to today, coming up about 15 minutes from now. Lighter's up, plenty of dope, plenty of good stories. Bottom of the hour, we're going out to El Yante, George Cole, of course, Canary North as well. So many topics to get to, and we'll dissect those four games coming up this weekend. Nothing like divisional NFL playoff action. Boy, wild card week is good. Championship week is all right. The Super Bowl sometimes, we've had the last three be pretty damn good. But I got to tell you, divisional playoffs where you have a early Sunday and a Sunday afternoon game, but Saturday you got the afternoon game and the night game, to our delight. Glad you could join us. All right, let's kind of recap the week. Monday, Tuesday, we kind of made it rain. Yeah, we haven't had the precipitation in this town in so long, but at the same time on Monday, the silver and black, Chucky back in town. John Gruden inked in for the Raiders, the $100 million man. $100 million man, 10 years for 10 mil, highest paid coach of all time at any level. Of course, if Saban decides to come out and do that giant thing, who knows what he could make that happen. Moving on to Wednesday, we had Nick Hamilton on. We talked about the future of the two L.A. franchises, the Rams and the Chargers. I kind of think the Chargers are in a pretty good position now that Anthony Lynn is their quarterback. We'll see what happens with that. They kept their offensive coordinator in D.C., so moving along, as long as Williams and all the other receivers are healthy, Rivers is there. They got a shot. The Rams on the other side. Let's face it, youth from the coaching position to all their players, everyone's about the same age. They got plenty of upside. They just need to keep fighting like they're doing. And we had a good time with Nick on Wednesday. Yesterday, Andy Esco joined us, Logical Approach. We kind of jumped on the NBA, went through that quite a bit. Today, we're going to get to the NBA. Also, we'll talk about the games coming up, the G Knights. Unfortunately, I know some listeners are going to be pissed because I gave an effort all week. We're not going to have night tickets to give away today for that Edmonton game. Ari's glad because it would have been calling number 50, 60. I would have dropped a heavy number. Worst. We would have went comp on you, baby. We would have dropped about a number 75.
And I would have had to have Jared he would have had the slack.
Had to grab him. But nevertheless, we're doing the Rebels in San Diego State. Another good gift coming up on this MLK weekend. We'll do that. It's for the 27th of the month. So we'll do that in that final go-round. Got to start you off, though, with the NBA. And the NBA's format for this year's All-Star Game in approximately 5 weeks is similar. Actually, it's the same as what the NHL did in 2013. And kind of like what the Pro Bowl did, not last year, but the prior years, where they tried Jerry Rice, a couple of other celebrities as head coach and drafting their teams. I didn't like it in the Pro Bowl. Okay? Yeah, Deion Sanders, Jerry Rice, coach, this coach, and they did the draft. Well, the NHL in 2013, they did their draft, and they had the two most popular players by fan vote be the captains of each team, and they made the draft. The last guy to get drafted, if you don't want to be the last. Well, you want to be drafted because you're on the team. Everyone that is voted on is going to be drafted, but the very last player, because your last story, we're going to give you a car, okay? So if you're the last guy, I want to be last. Give me a free car, and I get to play in the game, and I'm picked last, I'll show them. Well, so they televised this in 2013. Final score was 17-12 in that ball game, but they televised the draft. And I'll credit the NHL because that was a good year for the All-Star game. However, the 3-on-3 format I think that they're using currently, they started after that. They had 1 year off. I think it's better. The problem with the NBA doing the same thing, right? Okay, it's Steph Curry in the West, LeBron James in the East. Adam Silver's will not televise it. Okay, because black people are tentative. They're sensitive. You know what? Let me say something, okay? Black brothers, you got to take your rice and eat it with your fried chicken and collard greens. That's all I got to say, okay? All right? You got to put it all in the same bowl. You can't be sensitive in this situation, damn it. We want to see it. I want to see the faces of a guy when LeBron James, okay, I'll take Chris Paul.
LeBron James.
Okay, you move on from there. You know, Curry, I take KD, his homeboy.
Yeah, it's over.
I'm going to take my dog. I'm going to take him. And you guys are going to be sitting there like they're in the green room of the NFL draft with their arms folded, like pissed off, thinking in their seats. I want to see it, baby. It's good for television. But somebody got to Adam Silver, and he admitted, hey, look, you know, some sensitive people. We don't want to hurt any feelings. No, we do want to hurt some feelings live on television. I want to see it. So we have 5 weeks to figure out and get people to come to the altar and say, let's do this. I want to see it live, okay? And if you're going to do it, fine. I like the format. It worked in the NHL. It didn't work in the Pro Bowl because they didn't have the players. For one, there's too many players to draft, okay? You got the center, the left, the right tackle, the guards, the receivers, the tight end, huh? The running backs, the quarterbacks, all the defensive players, the special teams. It ain't going to work. There's too many people to take. And it's a long draft. It's not good for TV. All right? It's not like the NFL draft we'll see in April. But the NBA draft for the All-Star game, I am licking my chops. I want to see these guys sink in their chairs, man. Hey, but you, hey, come on, Bron, you told me, dude. You know, I want to see a guy stand up and say, nah, Bron, you said I was going to be third.
Yeah.
I want to see a
real
fight.
Clickish, yeah.
And brothers will go off on each other, man. Nah, dude, nah. Nah, man. Yeah, I did hit your girl. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that was me with the red sweater on Christmas.
Wow.
Climbing out the window. I want to see it. I want to see some bad blood and then finish the season. We're going to get the Cavs doing it again against the Dubs in the championship. So we'll see what happens.
I think you're
there.
Right about that, too.
Yeah. Yeah, those two teams will probably be there. I mean, we've got Houston in the way, perhaps. And on the other side, you got the Seas. I mean, the Celtics are better now with Kyrie Irving. Unfortunately, Gordon's not there. But nevertheless, they're growing up. And they may be the Rams of this year, a team that's a year away, but we'll see. So we'll see what happens on that. It's a chance where we might get some of the best drama we ever had in the NBA. And that is if Adam Silver, the commissioner, decides, yes, sir, this will be good. We should televise the draft of the All-Star game coming up in 5 weeks and show the players mugs when they're not getting picked when they promised they were, okay? So we'll see what happens. All right, that was fun. This isn't. Jerry Rice's daughter, or should I say Jerry's children or child, Jada, and she's attractive. Her boyfriend is, or now is her ex-boyfriend, Jeremy Liggins, who now plays for Seattle, and he played for, I believe it was the Colts at the time. This happened a while back, but she says he choked her, okay? She's telling TMZ and some other folks. Now, he's 24, she's 21. This dude is 6'3", 310 pounds. Okay, according to the police report, Rice said that Liggins, they were, at the time he was with the Colts, they got into a verbal argument and a fight back on December 16th after a nightclub. Rice was upset about other girls approaching Liggins throughout the night. Hey, call me, right? So Rice claims she confronted Liggins about 2 a.m. and an argument became physical with him shoving her. Rice says, she grabbed his gold chain. No, not the gold chain. We saw what happened with Michael Crabtree.
That's the takeaway, not the gold chain.
You can't go for the bling, baby. So she grabbed his gold, snatched his gold chain. Okay. Now, in fear of her safety, Rice says she fled to the bathroom. Liggins followed her, breaking down the door. Okay. Grabbing her by her hair and dragging her into the bedroom. This is when they're at home then. Okay, so once in the bedroom, Rice claims Liggins choked her with one hand, causing her to have difficulty breathing, unquote. Rice called her mom, who then called the cops. At 5:38 a.m., Indy time, a police arrived out at the place and claimed she had hurt her head, her knee was hurt, and she had visible injuries. They also noted Rice seemed intoxicated, unsteady, okay? on her feet and was slurring her speech and vomiting. So that's signs of being pretty whacked out, too. So they both were pretty drunk. Okay, you're at a nightclub. You're there. You got your girl with you, your shorty. And, you know, you got other girls coming by. They know who you are. Hey, Licky. Call me Lick. Okay, so, you know, she's pissed off. She's kind of wasted, lit. So they get at home. And so, you know, she starts, hey, you know what was up with that? Well, look, that's natural. But you can't beat her up. You're 6'3", 310. They didn't arrest him. Okay, he's fortunate because if he gets arrested, you know what happens? He gets suspended 4 days. Why? 4 games, rather, for domestic violence.
Is it because she didn't press charges, like, or she said she didn't want to?
Well,
or?
See, here's what I think. I think in Indianapolis, they protected the player. I hate to say that. If she was had any kind of marks on her at all, now, if it was a white chick, he gone. Okay? Yep. For one, black on white, big black dude, little white girl, and the marks would have been visible, right? If he choked her and she was a white chick, you would have saw the handprint. But the fact that she's black, unless she's not really high yellow, light skin, you can't see the imprint of the hands, the choke marks, any other bruises. So he's fortunate he got away with it. So they went back and forth in the conversation. He got away with it for his sake, if it's true. The thing is, when you're drunk and you're jealous, we really don't know the whole story. We don't know if girls were flirting at him and he was just waving at them. And if they were, what the hell? Same thing could happen with your girl. If your girl's a celebrity, people are cheering at her and, you know, catcalling, whatever.
Part of the deal.
It's part of the deal.
Someone like that, yeah.
If you're going to have a fly girl or your dude's going to be top of the heat, a top shelf, then you got to expect this to be part of the case.
Now, if you're 6'3 and 310, you said?
That's what he is.
Then maybe it's also par for the course to not put your hands on a woman, which should be for any guy.
Well, any dude.
Yeah, but especially, I mean, yeah, that's... And then you add alcohol in the mix. That's never a good combination. I know there's things in these situations that, like, you don't know behind closed doors. And I have seen women be extremely crazy and volatile. And I could see I've gotten to the point of anger that I would want to almost
who you be dating,
put hands on my ex.
Who you be dating?
However, I never did and never would. I don't know. I just don't get why there's no filter or something that makes you kind of stop. Wait, let me back up before I slam the wall down or the door down.
When you're that big, you should understand. I mean, just a little shove of a girl that's 5'4", 5'7", whatever, she could fall and hurt herself, okay? You're both intoxicated. I mean, he's lucky he didn't get arrested. If he gets arrested, he's going to be punished by the NFL. 4-game suspension, domestic violence. And that's perhaps why the police didn't take him. He's with Seattle now. Back then, he was with the Colts, so... There you have it. That's Jerry's child, Jada Rice, Jerry Rice's daughter. All right, the playoff game's coming up this weekend. I'm thinking, which game do I really want to see? And it's difficult. Okay, the Falcon-Eagle game I think will be fun. Falcons on the road of a slight field goal favorite in this ball game, and the Falcons showed a lot of urgency and got busy and got the victory in that ball game against the Rams. I was surprised. But, hey, they want to get back to the promised land. We'll see if they can. On the other hand, you got Foles coming in. Everything else is set for the Eagles. They are loaded in every capacity except at quarterback. Carson Wentz, the to-be-crowned MVP, got injured. He's a beast. What is he, 6'5", 250? Plays like a linebacker. He plays like Andrew Luck. But we'll see what happens. That is not the game I really want to see. I want to see it, don't get me wrong, but it's not top of the heap. The other game on Saturday, Patriots, Titans. Okay, good game too. To me, the two games on Sunday. Jacksonville in the rematch against the Steelers. Jacksonville went there in week 5 and beat the Steelers 30-9. Beat Roethlisberger down. Put him on his ass 5 times. Picked him 5 times. Talked a lot of trash. Jacksonville, their secondary, their linebackers, their D-line, they talk trash from the start. Before, in the warm-ups, they're walking by you talking smack. I love a team that talks trash, selling wolf tickets before the game, and then they could cash them in when you kick it off. I want to see that game. That's a payback game. Can the Steelers get it back?
I want to see what George Cole has to say about that one.
Yep.
That's a moneymaker, right?
And he's coming up at the bottom of the hour here from Ayante. Then the other game. I mean, the other game is the most fascinating matchup. Okay, you got Drew Brees, and he's got Ingram and Kamara, the veteran and the rookie running back. Kamara's a rookie. He's probably rookie of the year now. He averages almost 8 yards a carry, or did during the regular season. And Drew Brees playing on lifters, okay? Dude's like 5'10", but he can stick it. Drew Brees and Phillip Rivers throw the most friendly pass for receivers in the league. And what I mean by that is they don't throw them hard. They float it right there. All you have to do is run under, be to the spot where you were all week in practice, and catch the football. The ball's going to be there. The question is, are you able to get by your defender and the other guy to get to the spot to catch that nice little loaf of bread that's going to fall right in your palms? So on the other side, you got Case Keenum, who he's a journeyman. Okay, Bridgewater's almost back. Bradford's ready, but you don't move this now. You got the best defense in football. Third down, you can't push the ball past the chains against the Vikings. They're at home, and the Vikings know they could be the first team in NFL history in Super Bowl 52 to play in their own stadium on the Super Bowl Sunday. So that game and the game before it on Sunday, and I'm not knocking the other two. The other two have promise. The other two could turn out to be the better two games. But the two I'm really licking my chops for are the ones on Sunday. Jacksonville and that defense. But on the other side of the football, man, their quarterback is – Bortles is just – if you watched that game last week, I mean, that dude, he had no confidence at all, period. What saved the game, though, was the fact that he can run the football. He actually rushed the football for more yards than he passed the football for and had a touchdown. So a couple of intriguing games here. We'll see what happens there. And before we break out, then there's the Vegas Knights. Edmonton, the team that beat them down this year, 8-2. That's the only time they really got run out of the arena.
Yeah.
Any game, 8-2. And so Edmonton's 18-23. They only have 39 points. And they're one of the bottom feeders in the Pacific. And the Knights are on top at 29-10-2. They've won 10 of 11. They have 60 points. And they want some payback. So that game is tomorrow night over at T-Mobile. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll see what gets down with it. All right, we're going to step away. When we get back, lighters up, dope is next.
Man, I've been saving for a special occasion.
Looks like a quarter pounder, man. Let's the blow.
Be careful with that, man.
Is it heavy stuff, man? Will it blow me away?
It's time now for Man, That Show is Dope.
3:22 in the valley. Lighters up. Pass it. Okay. And now, you know, I don't like to rip on the president. Okay? He is what he is. But Donald Trump, he said some shameful racist things just recently, huh? He described African nations as well as Haiti and El Salvador as assholes. All right. Now, he was questioned about it, and he just blew it by. Then he signed the MLK holiday bill in front of media. What a great time, right? I'm going to sign the MLK thing for peace and all the good unity stuff after calling these countries assholes. And then the media in the room, they let him have it.
President, did you refer to African nations? You were a older. Mr. President, are you a racist? Mr. President, will you respond to these serious questions about this statement, sir? We're talking to the president, not you, sir. Mr. President.
Oh, they were coming after him. Yeah. Are you racist? Are you racist, Donald? Hey, President, are you racist? S-hole? Hey, huh? Huh? A-hole? Oh! I gotta say this. And I gotta say, CNN used the word over and over again. I guess they had to go upstairs and say, hey, listen, can we say what he said? It's a quote from the president.
From the president of the United States.
Because
America.
The president quoted that word. I'm not gonna use it. S-hole. CNN used it all day. I'm going to guess the other networks did the same because It's a quote from the president calling nations in Africa, Haiti and El Salvador, assholes. And the media, they tack him, hey, it's very serious. You going to answer it? He didn't say nothing, walked away, and then came out on Twitter with his usual comeback. But there's no way out of this. I mean, continuously, he's showing his hand. And over again, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how long this is going to go on. I really don't. I root. The only reason I root for him to succeed is because if he succeeds, we succeed.
Yeah, you live in this country.
But if he fails because of his ignorance or the way he's carrying himself, and they get him out of there and replace him with someone better, I'm okay with that. But I just don't want to see him fail and we crash and burn with him. Okay? This is the strongest man on the planet. Okay? He is the most powerful dude on the planet. I beg your pardon.
The difference between the two things.
I didn't mean strongest. I'm going to say the most powerful man. He's got the button right next to him.
Correct.
He can blow everybody up.
Yeah.
So I don't know how this is going to turn out in the end, but I'm glad that the media was there. And at least pressured him. He said nothing. Walked away. It's MLK weekend. I thought the media was pretty dope the way they handled it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. I'm just flabbergasted by the fact that we're having a conversation, a discussion about... and the fact that a legitimate media person goes... And that's her job today. I have to ask the president of our nation, of our country... if he is racist. And it's a legitimate question, you know, and I feel like with every other president across the board in the history of time, even though maybe some of them had some racist tendencies, no one in their right mind would ever have, not even have the audacity, but just fathom thinking that they have to ask this president. She asked that like a legitimate question, like, did you sign this treaty? Do you believe this? Do you support this? Are you racist? That's the question, and it's pretty sad that no one was outraged, and they want to know the answer. What's your answer to that? So yeah, that's pretty dope on their part, and he is a giant dope. I have no problem lighting him up on the show.
Light him up,
just you know, he
be lit.
I don't want to get seat mad.
I'm good
off here. on to a little segue into the Me Too movement. So this is a little longer story, but I wanted to tell the whole thing because it's interesting. A TV writer named Megan Gans, she did Community and Modern Family. She's a former editor of The Onion, if you're familiar, which is a satirical website. She's pretty successful. So last week, she accused her former boss, Dan Harmon, of sexual harassment during their time on the set of the show Community when it first came out. So she tweeted about this. What's dope to me, I'm just going to say now, is this is not the first time this happened. It's not the first time someone accused someone, someone was a victim, someone asked for an apology and got one. Usually the apologies are insincere, forced, and scripted, and they don't solve anything, and they usually just make the victim have to relive through the whole thing. So in this case, that was not the case, and Gans tweeted about it. I'm going to read the tweets. They're a little bit long, but they're all relevant for you to hear. And just kind of tell the story. She said, here's a weird one for you. Last week, I called out my former boss at Dan Harmon for sexual harassment. And today I'm going to ask you to listen to his podcast. She puts the link up. In this podcast, at some point, he's apologizing to her at 1838. It says, she says, I'm not being flippant. I didn't bring up this mess just to sweep it back under the rug. But I find myself in the opposition of having requested an apology publicly, then having received one, a good one, also publicly. I waited 6 years for it, but you could find it in at 1838 in. And then she says, please listen to it. It's only 7 minutes long, but it's a masterclass in how to apologize. He's not rationalizing or justifying or making excuses. He doesn't just vaguely acknowledge some general wrongdoing in the past. He gives a full account. There's two more things she says, but right off the bat, I mean, that to me is dope because that's what this is really. You can't reverse. You can't go back in time and fix this. And it depends on the magnitude of the situation, but I'm guessing this was just some old-fashioned just harassment. You know, not that that's okay, but there's some way to repair that if you actually care enough to. And I didn't hear his apology. I didn't need to because of what she said. She said, I only listened because I expected an apology. What I didn't expect was the relief I'd feel just hearing him say these things actually happened. I didn't dream it. I'm not crazy. Ironic that the only person who could give me the comfort is the one person I'd never asked. And then she said, it's not about vengeance or vindication. That's why I didn't feel it right to just accept his apology in private, although I did that too. But if any part of this process should be done in the light, it's the forgiveness part. And so, Dan Harmon, I forgive you. again, I just, the whole Hollywood thing, what's going on, all this harassment, I mean, it's nothing new, and it's going to continue, and it's going to, the light continues to be shed, but it's cool to see at least one situation where not only someone held themselves accountable and took responsibility for their actions, but there actually is some closure. She actually can heal from that and move on, I think, from whatever happened to her. It's as close as it gets, so I thought that was a pretty dope thing. I would like to see more stories like that instead of the total opposite, like the Harvey Weinstein thing getting punched the other day, because we're just so angry and there's no...
A drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, for her, though, she also has a pretty good heart. I mean, for her to forgive him. And listen, just about everybody in Hollywood has dirty laundry when it comes to that. Sure. I mean, guys in power, and that's just the way it is with men. And I've said it all the time. You know me, I don't run with dudes. I don't like us. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the listeners, and I'm good with that. A listener could approach me anytime. I could be eating, on a date, whatever, say hello. But it's not like I'm going to call up a dude, hey, meet me over at so-and-so to watch the game. I don't like us because we're full of crap.
It's true.
I don't have time for it.
Especially when a woman is around.
Well, pretty girls is what I like to run with, or a nice little dog that might bite it now and then. Nevertheless, moving down to Texas, and you may recall this back on November 5th, a gunman walked into the First Baptist Church and wiped out 8 people. Okay, one family, total family. He shot up this church because of his, I guess, his in-laws, right? Well, this one little boy got shot several times, and he survived. The kid's name, Raylan Ward, 6 years of age. The fireman, Rusty Duncan, was there to save the kid, took him to the hospital, and has been visiting him and his dad ever since. ABC San Antonio has a story. Give a listen.
A hero's welcome in Sutherland Springs today as young Rylan Ward returned home from the hospital. The 6-year-old boy injured in that tragic November 5th shooting at the First Baptist Church of Sutherland Springs that claimed 26 lives, including his stepmother and 2 sisters. Our Garrett Berger in Sutherland Springs when Rylan finally arrived home.
Here he comes. In a bright red fire truck surrounded by friends, Rylan Ward arrived to even more of them in Sutherland Springs. For a community that has known so much woe, this moment meant one thing.
Joy. Joy. Total joy. I don't know him personally, but I know the hardship that him and his family have gone through. And we're a community that we stick together no matter what.
So they showed him with signs, shouts, and tears.
This truly gives us hope.
At the wheel was Rusty Duncan, the firefighter who brought Rylan out of the church and who has felt connected to him since that fateful day.
When I saw his eyes looking up at me inside the church, to the whole time his eyes were open at me laying on the ground, to the minute I saw him for the first time in the hospital.
It was Duncan's idea to give Rylan a ride home in his fire truck. And today, he got to see Rylan with a little boy's eyes riding happily along.
He wanted to go faster, he wanted the siren to be louder, and he wanted me to honk more.
Today is so happy because of how starkly different it is from the horror that preceded it. But today's memory is the one they'll hold close.
This is fantastic, and it's something he's going to remember, and I hope he remembers this more than the other. You know.
And there was your action right there. That is, wow. Little Raylan Ward, 6 years of age. He took bullets. The kid got shot multiple times. And fortunately, he lived. And for the fireman who saved him, for you to be connected to the kid, to be there every day he visited the hospital. Okay, we're talking two months ago. And the dad's there, and eventually he told the kid, hey, look, I'm giving you a nice warm welcome back home. You're going to be riding shotgun in the fire truck. And it was like a parade. You had the people lined up on the street. Welcome home, Raylan. Had signs and stuff like it was a football game, like a pep rally. So to the firemen who stuck by this kid, dope.
And the community. That's special, man, because can you imagine just a local thing if something like that was going on and we're all thinking, hope this kid survives or whatever it is. Took more shots than he's been alive.
I think he shot
years.
How many times?
Shot 5 times, he told me.
He's
4 years old. Oh.
Well, it could be.
Whatever the
sometimes
case,
they get these stories wrong as far as his age. It said 6, but he took 4 or 5 bullets and lived.
Strong.
Yeah.
All right. Getting back to my ladies. Gotta shout out my ladies here. This is interesting.
You freak.
This just came down like a couple hours ago. Saudi women were allowed into a sports stadium for the first time today to watch a soccer match between 2 local teams. segregated in the stands from a male crowd only, a male-only crowd, excuse me, with designated seating in the so-called, quote, family section. But still, that's progress. And this was the first attempt of Saudi Arabia's, they're putting in new social reforms plan for this year. That's kind of like the first step, is to ease the restrictions on women. And it's spearheaded by the kingdom's 32-year-old crown prince. Can I just take a quick note on a side note? I think leaders of our country and the world should be that age. A 32-year-old has his head wrapped around, his thumb on the pulse of what's going on, and realizes that women should not be segregated like this. Meanwhile, over here, we have to ask our 7-year-old leader if he's racist or not. So I just wanted to throw that in there, because I think that's absurd. Anyway, 32-year-old Crown Prince Kingdom has also announced that starting in June, women will be allowed to drive, lifting the world's only ban on female drivers that's left. So that's pretty dope. They're just trying to progress and get, you know, get things integrated. And the first stadium to open its doors to women was the Red Sea City in Jeddah. Stadium in the capital will open on Saturday as well. And so, you know, other places are going to follow this. That is pretty dope to me.
Yeah, also I saw where 2 days ago or yesterday where they had a car company where the women were allowed in for women only, where they could drive because they couldn't drive up until now.
Exactly.
So now they can go into stadiums and they could drive to the stadiums without their men if they want to. So I don't understand why this has ever been a oppression to women like this internationally anyway, but that's the way it is when you're in control and you want to have control and you're a bully. All right, lighters down. George Cole next here on Game On.
Now back to Game On, Seat Williams.
Back on the streets of Vegas, 338, feeling good here on a Friday. MLK weekend, baby. Ah, what's on your plate? Boy, some fried chicken, maybe some barbecue ribs.
Stop talking about fried chicken. I don't see any samples or anything.
You like fried chicken, right?
Of course I do. I'm going to say about it in the first segment too.
This gym right here probably does too. George Cole, Aliante Kennery North. George, what's your plate going to have this weekend, my brother?
Man, who doesn't like fried chicken?
Thank you very much.
you know what I mean? It's everybody likes that.
Looking forward to this weekend with some fried chicken on the side. It's Saturday. You know, I love the format, though. First of all, George, the way it's set up, they give us the afternoon Saturday and then the late game Saturday and then Sunday the early game and then the afternoon game. So the format, I think, is it fits everybody's setup.
Yeah, because everybody, you know, kind of wants to get the games early, you know, have a couple beers on Sunday and then, you know, get ready for work on Monday. You know, your average person that doesn't work in Las Vegas in the casino industry. So I think it is set up right for the viewers.
Let's go to the first game at 1:35 and the Falcons. I like I said last week, and the thing I drug away that I remember more than anything else on a positive note was the urgency of their secondary. Butler, their secondary, their corners and their DBs were added. Jared Goff couldn't get anything completed. Sure, Gurley had 100 and plus yards on the ground, but they couldn't throw by air. And when you're winning the football game, that's a formula for a victory. If you're Atlanta, they showed some urgency. Matty Ice did what he had to do. Freeman did his job. And now they get the Eagles, who have everything in place except a quarterback. We'll see what happens with Foles. Do you think he can get it done? And what's the public and the Sharps doing?
Right now, it's fairly evenly bet. We probably have a few more parlays on the Falcons with the public. The Sharps are backing the Eagles pretty good at 3. We even dipped down to 2.5 for a minute, took a little bit of money on the Falcons, not much on the Eagles at plus 2.5 because I think everybody assumed it would go right back to 3. But we have a bunch of sharp money at 3 minus 120, 3 minus 115, and then 3 minus the 110. To me, I think the key is just going to be how Nick Foles plays on the first couple series. If he can actually get a few first downs, get some of his confidence back, I think he'll be okay. I mean, in my opinion, this is one of those games that, obviously, if the Eagles lose, they're going home anyway. But if he has a decent game, they beat the Falcons, and he builds up a little confidence, I think the talk's right back in there that they're in it.
That total, was it 44 when it opened down to now 40.5 or so?
It looks like, you know, we opened at 42, and we're down to 41 right now in that game.
All right. Should be a good matchup. Then, of course, the evening game where no one's really given much of a chance on the straight up for the Titans. Of course, DeMarco Murray out still with the injury. At the same time, though, they've got the big fellow who's been getting it done. The Patriots, 13.5, your total 48. Your thoughts about this one and what they're doing?
It looks like we jumped to 14 for a minute immediately. The Sharps pounced on the 14. They're still betting it at plus 13.5 a little bit. But we got plenty of public money in at 13.5 on the Patriots. Our ticket count, again, it's not nearly as bad as I would have thought it would have been. But, you know, 13.5 is a big number for the playoffs. You know, people are kind of, you know, those stories going around about the Patriots, people are wondering if they're having some problems internally, and we actually have some money on both sides.
Well, when the Patriots have issues, you know what they normally do. They go out and pound.
They'll go out and win by 60, right?
Yeah, right. They turn it up a notch or two.
So the total in that game opened at 47.5. We're at 48 right now.
All right, so the public betting that one up. Sunday, it gets fun. These two games, to me, the first one, smash-mouth football, a little revenge in play. The Steelers looking to get back from that 30-9 whipping they took at home in Week 5. Jacksonville all over their quarterback. Roethlisberger also picked him 5 times. The Steelers at home trying to get this done. Cold weather, 10:05 start. The numbers and what your thoughts are.
Opened up at 7 and is now 7.5. This game, the public's really pouring in on the Steelers on the parlays. Total is sitting at 41, right where it opened. I don't think that the Steelers' defense is going to let, you know, Blake Bortles run for 82 yards this week. But you never know. I mean, that Jacksonville defense is tough. You know, if they get into Roethlisberger's head again in the beginning, and it sounds like there's a little bit of unrest with Le'Veon Bell, already upset about his contract, so. You know, it seems like there's a lot of drama involved in these games.
That's amazing. I mean, you're talking about your contract. You got the biggest
right
game of the year coming up.
Right in the middle of playoff season, right?
Unbelievable. Don't franchise tag me. Come on, man. Go play the football game.
A lot of people talk about that when the elder Rooney died. You know, they kind of – the respect that the team used to have for ownership and stuff, that would have never happened back in the day.
I believe you, too. George Cole, Aliante, Cannery North here on the show. Game on. And then, of course, perhaps the best matchup of the day would be the Saints and the Vikings. Minnesota, Case Keenan getting it done. Drew Brees, you can't question him. Kamara, Ingram, the running tandem. Protection in the line. Vikings, on the other hand, they've got a young runner getting it done. Number one defense overall. This game right here is really a great matchup on paper. We'll see what happens. What do you have there?
Kind of surprised on this one. This is going to be one of those games that the Sharps are on the favorite. We're up to 4.5 right now. The Sharps bet it at 3.5. They bet it at 4.5, or at 4, and they've pushed it to 4.5. And it looks like we've even taken a little bit of sharp money at 4.5. And believe it or not, at the plus 4.5, we are taking some bets, but not like we'd like to see come in on the Saints. So it looks like with the Vikings playing at home, indoors, which, you know, I think Drew Brees likes that as well. The ticket count is pretty high on the Vikings right now.
George, let's go to the hardwoods.
Go ahead. The total did jump 2.5 points on that one. That one opened at 44.5, and now we're up to 47.
It's 47 now, okay. Some places I know have 46, but 47, we'll go with what you have there. LeBron James and company struggling and blown out 20, 30 points plus their last couple of games. Now they go to Indiana, a place where they have struggled in past years as far as in the series and the postseason. But I don't know if they're going to turn it around yet. Isaiah Thomas is still trying to blend in with the offense. What are you doing here with this game as far as the betting and things of that nature?
Well, I think, like you said, everybody expected there to be a little bumps in the beginning with Isaiah Thomas, but I certainly didn't think they were going to go to Toronto and lose by, 25 or whatever it ended up being last night. That game, we opened at 2. It's been bet down to 1.5. Pretty much even money on both sides. Heavy ticket count on the Cavaliers parlay. We also, looks like we actually, that game had gone as high as 2.5 at one point, and then I was back down to 1.5. Total on that's 221, right where it opened. And we, it looks like it's actually pretty evenly bet, other than the ticket count is high on the Cavaliers parlays.
You know, I'll let you get to these other games and run them down. In total, we have 9 games in the NBA. But listen, if you're in the NBA and you get ejected for 2 technicals, you can't have the last name Hood and then knock a dude's cell phone out of his hand. You're going to get a $25,000 fine, right?
Yeah, I was just kind of reading about that real quick before we got on. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess for these guys, 25 grand's not too much, but I sure wouldn't risk it. We got the Jazz Hornets. Hornets opened at 4.5. That's now at 4. Magic at the Wizards. Wizards opened 10.5. It's sitting right there. Nets at the Hawks. Hawks opened 3.5. That's at 3. Knicks, T-Wolves. T-Wolves opened at 9. That's 8.5. Blazers, Pelicans. Pelicans minus 3.5. That's actually jumped up 1.5 from 2. We have the Warriors open minus 6. They're down to minus 5 over the Bucks. Get through with the rundown. We have some props up on that game. Grizzlies, Nuggets. Nuggets open 7.5. That's 6.5 now. And finally, Rockets, Suns. Rockets open 7. That's minus 8 right now. We'll have props on the 2 ESPN games, different margin of victory props, total points scored props, biggest lead of the game prop. Then we have Kevin Durant. Will he go over under 29.5? The Greek Freak, 28.5. Chris Paul, 24.5, and Devin Booker, 26.5.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing as far as we talked about this in the first segment, the NBA All-Star game in about 5 weeks, and they did this in 2013 on ice in the hockey game. They had the two captains, the two guys with the most votes from the public as team captains, and they selected their teams like you and I would as kids. Hey, I got him, you got him.
Yeah.
All down the road. Well, they televised it in the NHL. And it was fun. And the guy who was the last player drafted, because everyone there was going to get drafted because you were voted in, that last player got a car. Well,
yeah.
Adam Silver is not going to televise the NBA All-Star draft selections because people have sensitive feelings. Televise it, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's why some of these, you know, hockey's picking up more and more steam. You know, the obviously the Pro Bowl had almost turned into, I think, was it last year? It actually was a little bit more competitive compared to the last 6 years before that. But, you know, some of these other, you know, teams, it seems like, you know, the NBA is basically a dunk contest until the last 3 minutes of the game.
So we'll see what happens there. All right, hockey, we've got a total of 5 games on the ice tonight. Let's start you up in Columbus with Vancouver as the visitor.
Let's take a look at that. The Blue Jackets open 190. It's sitting right where it is. Looks like we're taking a little money on Vancouver. Total 5.5, under minus 120. Flames at the Panthers. Panthers open 130. That's kind of sitting right where it is. Looks like the majority of the parlays are coming in on Calgary. Total 5.5 over minus 120. Capitals at the Hurricanes. That had opened minus 125 Hurricanes. Minus 135 Hurricanes. It's now dropped to 125. Most of the money coming on the dogs. It looks like we got a lot of dog parlays tonight. Jets, Blackhawks, that opened. Jets minus 105. That's now flip-flopped. Blackhawks minus 105, Jets minus 115. And finally, Oilers had opened minus 125. That's taking the biggest jump. They're up to minus 150. Majority of the money on the Oilers as well as the ticket count.
We need the Coyotes to soften the Oilers up. They kind of spanked their boys, the Knights, earlier this year, 8-2, and they come into T-Mobile tomorrow night. And our guys are pretty red hot right now.
It's becoming about the hardest ticket in town to get, huh?
It is. In fact, we thought we were going to have a pair of tickets this week to give away. Guess what? They dissolved. We don't have them.
You know, I've been talking to, you know, some friends from work, and, you know, they follow and try to get in. And, you know, even those standing room only tickets are selling out. And actually, you know, last time I went, I sat in the upper bowl. The standing room only tickets aren't really that bad because you're up there, you're kind of comfortable. You're not, you know, you're on your feet most of the time at a hockey game anyway. So the standing room only are kind of nice seats, but you can't even get those anymore.
Yeah, kind of difficult to get. George, anything else going on at El Yonte or Kennery North coming up?
like I said, I mean, you download our app at theBeConnectedSports.com. There's so much we have up on the board, whether it's the Australian Open, Masters. We have World Cup up now, up-to-date odds on AFC Conference, NFC Conference, pro football, you know, next year's college football, college basketball. Too much to talk about. Best thing to do is get that app, put it right in the palm of your hands, and you can see everything that Boyd Gaming has to offer.
Always a pleasure, George.
And I guess we'll be seeing you up here next Saturday.
That's right. You got a concert there. I want to check out Najee in concert, saxophone supreme, baby.
All right, my man. You have a great weekend. See you. I'll talk to you next Friday.
Thank you, George. George Cole, Aliante Kennery North, gets it done each and every Friday for us here. He's been with us, what, about maybe 3 years now? Maybe four.
Since back in the day.
Huh? It's been, you've been out there before, Aliante?
Oh, yeah. I've made the voyage out there.
It's pretty nice, man. You walk in there, it's plush. I'm not much of a slots player or anything of that nature, but you walk in, the slots are right there. Then they've got these nice little dining areas you could get to. I plan to hit one up next weekend before I do the concert, so should be a lot of fun. You know, we're talking about the NBA All-Star Game. Well, the NHL Skills Competition, you know, they have the 3-on-3 now, mm-hmm. and they went away from what they had back in 2013, which was kind of successful, I thought. But then they had the off year because of it was something about the Olympics or whatever. Yeah, it was the Olympics. So now you come back, and this year they're going to have the four division winners, select schedule of the games. You have the 3-on-3. You can choose either game one or game two from Pacific to Central. That, of course, being the West, the Metro Atlantic and the East. And then you decide which team you want to play. The team with the most pull is the team that, because, like, we want to play that team. So hopefully you pick that right team is the way you want it to be. All right, that'll do it. Listen, folk, be careful when you light that grill up this weekend. Should be a lot of fun. Want to say thanks to Jarrett. Got his feet wet here on the show. He's our intern. He'll be running things once in a while on the ones and twos. Ari also's got you. I'm Seed Williams. Thanks to George Cole, Aliante Kennery North. Remember, folk, have a good weekend. And as MOK, keep your chins tucked low, guards up high. We'll see you on the radio, more of the show on Tuesday. It's NBC Sports Radio 920. Game on. Game. Take a giveaway?
Wow.
Almost
yes,
forgot the
that's
tier.
What I was. That's what I was doing. You got 30, right. You got 25 seconds.
All right,
folks,
call number
give
five.
Give me a call right now.
At 702-365-9200. 702-365. That's why you're in here.
It's Friday.
I'm ready to go home and eat some ribs. 365-9200. Caller number five. Peace.